go on a Wednesday, Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Stroph with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all studio at the Avenue, downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio is here. Will Summers is here for his big tryout to be the official baseball correspondent of Mr. Irrelevant. We'll get to him a bit later. Tiny Ants, Hunter Vaughn here as always, back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, producing us up on this fine Wednesday afternoon. We got a big show for you today. Packers tight end Tucker Kraft is going to join us for about 5 minutes. Caught up with him last night at the Packers tailgate tour, which is underway this week, when the team does a ton of charitable efforts across the state with current players, alumni players, and, of course, President and CEO Mark Murphy. So got to catch up with Tucker Kraft a bit. We talked about the offense. We talked about the commentary. We talked about being glued to the hip, both in a good and bad way, with his fellow tight end Luke Musgrave. And a little bit of a surprise at the end of that interview that we will have to unpack as well a bit later with our guy Tucker Kraft. Also on the show today, we've got Joshy's bullet points, the what you need to know about the NFL draft. Excited to get to that. And we will talk some NFL draft. I have found some numbers both concerning and both endearing about the Green Bay Packers in relation to the NFL draft, which is just 15 days away. And if you missed our announcement Monday, Mr. Relevant, live from Green Bay all week long, right here on YouTube as well as on the radio from 12 to 2, Monday through Friday. Five times draft week up in Green Bay. We will be up there. Ton of special guests already scheduled to appear. More will pop on. That will be surprise guests to both you and me. Going to be a hell of a week up in Green Bay as Green Bay becomes the epicenter of the sports world there for a couple of weeks. All right, let's get into this. Joshy, before we get to you and your draft numbers or your draft notes, how are you? You good?
I'm all right. I had a devastating gambling loss last night.
You still have a place to live, right?
Yes. Okay. It was only a $20 bet, but it was to win $1,000. I nailed Giannis Antetokounmpo having over 7.5 assists. I believe he had 10. I nailed Bobby Portis in his debut, his return after suspension, having the double-double. Played great, was a great catalyst for the team.
Ooh, good word.
And I had over 32.5 points and rebounds for Anthony Edwards. If we remember, it was pretty much a historic comeback for the Milwaukee Bucks. They were down 24, I believe, heading into the fourth quarter. The Bucks held the Timberwolves to 8 total points. They went on a 34-3 run, I believe, to cap off the end of the game. Heading into the fourth quarter, I needed one single Bobby Portis rebound. He got it. And I needed 4 points or rebounds. Either one would have counted from Anthony Edwards. Now, mind you, 24-point deficit, and they were just, the Bucks were laying it on him.
Yep.
Just constantly scoring. The Wolves did nothing to stop it. Anthony Edwards took quite a few shots, missed all of them. Had some rebounds he probably could have got to, but he did pick up 2 defensive rebounds throughout the course of the fourth quarter and scored one singular point on a free throw. 20 to win 1,062.
Oh, no.
All I needed was one singular point or rebound for, and it was over the course of like 5-6 minutes. It wasn't just at the end there when we saw like him randomly throw the ball away instead of shooting. He did have a last second shot. There was plenty of opportunity. You'd figure one of the best players in the world at basketball, as your team's getting absolutely hammered and losing a lead, would take it upon himself to score, get to the hoop, maybe get fouled, take some free throws. Nope, did none of that. So that's pretty much been on my mind all day. Only second to the Masters. I'm looking right now at our friend Andy North.
Our friend.
Great pal of the station, basically of everyone. Andy North seems... He's
a friend of everybody.
That's what I was just going to say. He's the friend of everyone. So I've been looking at those gambling odds, thinking about that, and then putting together our draft breakdown that I got for you.
So you're not doing okay.
No. I mean, it's not often you have the chance to win $1,000 and you're 0.5 away from it.
That's fair.
Josh, does it help at all that since you brought up Andy North, Alex Stroph had probably one of the most embarrassing on-air moments I've ever experienced.
I forgot about that.
With Andy North. I would love to hear this.
Yeah. It's my number one most embarrassing moment of my career.
What'd you do?
So this would have been, what, at this point, Hunter, 3 years ago?
Yep, 3 years ago. Maybe at the AmFam Championship. Yeah.
Yeah, it was either 21 or 22. It was the AmFam Championship. I'm doing a Saturday or Sunday morning show. As you know, Joshy, my golf knowledge is not great.
Minimal.
And Andy North, two-time U.S. Open champion, is sitting with me and Jesse Nelson. I am reading the leaderboard, and in first place was Miguel Angel
Cabrera.
Is it Jimenez?
Okay.
And I said Miguel Angel Jimenez. And Andy North. So I'm introing Andy North, right? So I'm bringing us back. So it sounds like this, right? I will literally reenact it for you. Sunday morning on ESPN Wisconsin, live from the American Family Insurance Championship at, where is that? University Ridge in Madison, Wisconsin. Alex Struff, Jesse Nelson with you. We will be joined in just a moment by Andy North, but taking a look at your leaderboard this morning. Five strokes under par in first place is Miguel Angel Jimenez. And Andy North looks at me like a disappointed father.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he
goes, you double bleeped it up.
And he just starts shaking his head. And Jesse goes, Struff, that's not how you say it. I go, Jesse, I've said it 8 times. Why haven't you corrected me yet? So, yeah, up there in certainly the most embarrassing moment of my life.
One of the all-time moments, because the PGA is getting more and more involved with, like, the content creators on YouTube and, like, the personalities. They were having, like, a content creator classic, and our friend Andy North was interviewing Fat Perez from the Bob Does Sports. You can find it on the internet because this has now grown into just like a massive thing. But at the end, you know, that's the nickname he goes by. At the end, Andy North thanks him by going, "Thanks for your time, fat." And it's just such a funny, because Andy North, I mean, he's right now at Augusta, the most revered private golf course in the world.
Yep.
One of the most exclusive places to be. He's constantly invited there. He's won the U.S. Open. Like, he's rubbing elbows with important, expensive people, and he's calling the guy in an interview on a broadcast fat because his name's Fat Perez.
Thanks for the time, fat. That's amazing. It's really good. All right, I've got a couple of things I want to run past you before we get to your odds and ends, what you need to know about the NFL draft coming up 15 days from today. Which seems impossible, might I add. But 15 days from today, the NFL draft will be underway up in Green Bay. As Hunter wrote in the lower third, Strope has some numbers with a question mark? Apparently I do. I've got two things to run past you, Joshy, because I found these really interesting. So I got a list this morning, and you know our emails, right? We'll get random lists that say, okay, here's what...
Somehow you get added to some sort of emailing list. Yeah. Like, I get a lot of odds for just random events and like crazy prop bets. If a player's perspective is trading, we often will get, here's where so and so is likely to land.
Yeah, we'll get the betting odds. So Betway is the name of this company that analyzed numbers to create an index of which teams are likely to draft the best players in terms of their draft performances over the years. They analyzed the previous 10 drafts. And some of the things they look at is all-pro draftees, pro bowlers, eventual Super Bowl winners, whether that's while you're, like, if you're drafted as a member of the Packers, but then you go to the Chiefs like MVS did, that still counts because he won a Super Bowl in his career, right? So, and then, you know, season award winner, so MVP, most improved player, yada, yada. Not most improved player, but offensive player of the year, right?
Yes. Comeback player is the one that
when you take all of those into account, and you give them a draft score of the 32 teams in the league, where do you think the Packers ranked the last 10 years?
Top five. Bottom five. Interesting.
Even worse?
Worst?
Worst. With a T. They rank 32nd in the league. A draft score on this scale, the highest is the Chiefs, number one at 55.5. Packers, 2.4 is their score, coming in 6 points behind the Las Vegas Raiders, who are number 31 at 8.2. Here are some numbers for you. The Packers have selected the least number of players to make an all-pro team in the last 10 drafts. They only have one. That is Jaire Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Only the Patriots have selected less Pro Bowl players than the Packers' five drafted players in the last 10 drafts. The Packers are one of the teams who have drafted zero end-of-season award winners in the last 10 drafts. Yet only the Falcons, who have zero, have drafted less Super Bowl champions than the Packers in the last decade. The Packers have drafted two.
I mean, that's...
It's an interesting scale. It's not everything.
Right. What's interesting is how do they weight the scale? Is everything just given a single point of like, here, we're adding up points. If you have one of these, it goes into that. If that kind of sounds what it seems like. I do think some people rate drafts based on like second contracts and things of that nature. It does afford that. What that does is it avoids Aaron Rodgers winning multiple MVPs in that stretch.
Mm-hmm.
It avoids, I think it does miss Davante Adams and his All-Pros because he was not drafted within that 10-year period.
Yep.
It also avoids the All-Pro from Devondre Campbell. I don't know if Preston Smith, if Zaire Smith was an All-Pro, but he was a free agent.
Yeah, I think he was.
So, yeah, the draft, I mean, as we know, we talk about there's one player from 2021 remaining. If you look back at some of those other classes, we were doing the same thing. I feel like we did that every year.
Yeah.
With that stretch that happened pretty much right after Goody took over, there's a stretch of three or four drafts where it's ugly. Ugly. And you get basically one guy who was good, Jair Alexander obviously being one of them, Jordan Love another.
Yeah, and you've got... The nice thing is you've got some up-and-comers.
Yes.
A ton of them, right? Like Edgerrin Cooper, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Tucker Kraft, who's going to join me in a few minutes. Like, these are all guys who are still up-and-comers and will probably nix this trend at some
point. Young guys most often don't get those honors the first time they should.
Right.
Like, Tucker Kraft probably should have been a Pro Bowler last year. When you compare him to the other guys in the NFC, it makes a lot of sense. You could argue, I mean, Edgerrin Cooper suffered from injury and not playing time, but, I mean, that's a Pro Bowl-level player if we're talking in terms of accolades and what he did throughout the course of the season when he was on the field. And then the other one is offensive linemen. Remember when David Bakhtiari was winning All-Pros but wasn't making Pro Bowls?
Yes.
I think that happened like 3 years in a row.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Pro Bowl is not a great measuring stick by any means. So I just thought that was interesting.
It is interesting. I think it also contextualizes how young the Packers are. It contextualizes how bad some of those early Goody draft picks were. I mean, Jamon Moore, I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper, I'll never forget. Jay Sternberger, I'll never forget. Josiah DeGuara, I'll never forget.
Amari Rodgers. You said Amari Cooper.
Amari Rodgers. Sorry,
Amari Cooper was a good draft pick.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. But Chef Ed chimes in at this point, right? Who the hell drafts a punter and long snapper in the same year? Which he did.
Yeah.
So
I contend he'll never draft a specialist again, other than maybe a kicker. I think those have all failed so majorly.
I don't know if he'll ever draft a kicker again.
Yeah, they were such... I mean, it happened, and I went, well, it's 6th, 7th round pick. Who really cares?
Right. Doesn't matter.
Right. The draft is really probably 5 rounds, and then you, once in a blue moon, you find a gem. But other than that, those are mainly practice squad players, or guys, a lot of times, who don't even make the team by the time the season rolls around and final cuts end up happening. So I understood it. But yeah, it's just... Predicting kicker, punter, or long snap, what?
Mm-hmm.
Just sign someone. I don't know. There's got to be someone out there.
Right. Here's the other number I want to throw at you before we get to... I'm really excited. You prepared for this.
My life is preparing for this. I just took down notes so I could hit on specific things.
I thought Josh was going to come in here and just shoot from the hip.
No. I like to... One of my great qualities is preparation.
You're a preparer.
When it comes to especially doing content, I don't want to sound dumb.
It's fair.
First and foremost.
I would never.
You can't relate. It comes naturally to
you. I'm pretty good about sports stuff. It's just vocabulary, not my
Yeah, and my bright spot. There is a lot of information here. There's a lot of positions. And you want to have it all in front of you so you can take it in whichever direction. Like, if you throw me a question and you ask... Who's like a good mid-round running back? I could name some guys, but I'll definitely leave someone out.
Okay, fair. How about this for a stat? So I have preached the emphasis the Packers put on the top 30 visits recently. and Mark Oldacre's over at PackersWire.com broke down Goody's tenure as the GM. So there's been 190 pre-draft visits, and 36 of them have ended up playing for the Packers in some capacity, which is about 20% of the pre-draft visits. Okay, so one of every five guys they visit with.
You can even take that number deeper, because I believe those numbers did expand during COVID when you weren't actually physically allowed to meet. So that number is probably actually inflated over that course.
Well, they did have virtual meetings during COVID.
Yeah, what I'm saying is there was more guys, but the problem is we could only confirm so many guys from that time, but there was more than 30 that were allowed to come in. Yeah.
So about 19, just over 19, or just under 19%, excuse me, of guys that Packers take pre-draft visits with end up playing for them, which means about 5 to 6 players per year. Now in the first round, it's much lower than that. Mm-hmm. Now Green Bay during Gutekunst's tenure has hosted 26 players on visits who were then taken in the first round, but have only drafted 2 of them. Do you know who those 2 are?
Jordan Morgan.
Nope.
I thought he was.
Different Jordan.
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love is one of them.
What year?
2022.
Who was the draft pick that year?
There was 2 of them.
Did he have Quay?
Other one. Devontae Wyatt and Jordan Love are the only 2 first-round picks he's had spent a first-round visit on, or top 30 visit on. But why I bring that up is because of, you know, we've been, you and I specifically, as well as a couple other people on ESPN Wisconsin, Brad Nortman being one of them, we're starting to convince ourselves wide receiver is certainly an option in the first round this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're spending a lot of time with top talent wide receivers, right? Guys that are going to go in the first round, including a 2-day visit that wrapped up yesterday with Ohio State receiver Emeka Egbuka, who has 2 1,100-yard seasons in his college career. It's an interesting note. He doesn't always draft the first-round picks, but the pre-draft visits, they translate at a higher level in Green Bay than they do elsewhere.
There's important context to have there as well. There's a great example with Simmons from Ohio State, who they just had in the tackle, who is supposed to be a first-rounder. Originally, it was reported that it was his ACL, but it ended up being his patella tendon. So guys who have injury concerns, they tend to bring in, if they think they are a first-round pick and they want to get an absolute answer on the health so the medical team can get their hands on them, run them through whatever testing they need to do before they can, you know, sort of rank them on their board. It happens most frequently with the mid to late round picks. You'll see guys that come in, they'll be projected as a 6th round, and Goody takes them in the 5th. That's usually how that part of that goes, is there'll be guys on there who probably get drafted higher than we all expect based on reading the Mel Kuypers, Dane Brugler's, etc. Yeah.
The beast out today.
So there is a lot of that happens. I have seen, and I believe they've talked about it, where the Packers will bring in everyone except for the guy they actually want in some situations, which is an interesting nugget to add to maybe the wide receivers are a smokescreen for the guy they really want at that pick.
If they get a Mykal Williams out of Georgia who they haven't visited.
Right. Didn't they?
I don't think they did.
I think they did.
I could be wrong on that. I haven't.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
There's another edge from Georgia, Jalen Walker, who they haven't had.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
He's also a first-round pick. Both of them are projected to be first.
But Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M a visit.
Correct.
James Pierce Jr.
Correct.
A visit, right? So, I mean, more first-round picks, it seems, this year that he's utilizing his time on, which is interesting, meaning, obviously, options are open at 23. You don't know how that's going to fall. So we'll see on that.
I've got an early prediction of how I think it goes.
Go ahead.
The Packers are going, their desire is to draft an edge rusher at 23rd, be it Shamar Stewart, be it Mike Green, Mykal Williams.
It's the desire.
If those guys go, and the reason we're seeing names like Isaiah Bond, Emeka Egbuka, and who's the third one? Matthew Golden.
Yep.
Is the Packers believe there is a chance they could trade back and still end up drafting that guy, be it late first or early second round.
If they trade out of the first round when the draft's in Green Bay.
Yeah, it'll be a lot. But that to me, because Emeka Egbuka is projected to be there at 23.
Yep.
I've seen him fall out of the first round in plenty of people's mock drafts, which would indicate to me there's some buzz that he's probably not as highly regarded as some people think.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Bond is almost certainly not a first rounder unless someone goes crazy and does something we're not expecting, which does happen in the second half of drafts. And Matthew Golden might be the first guy drafted altogether. So it's interesting to see just kind of where those guys are thought of and how they're bringing those. Because both Shamar Stewart and Michael Williams, I believe, have been well believed to be above the Packers pick at 23.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Okay, it is the moment you've all been waiting for. No, I am not referring to Tucker Kraft, who we will get to after this. Joshy DiMaggio is my Mel Kiper. He is my Matt Miller. He is my hero when it comes to the NFL draft. He prepares, baby. He's a preparer. Loves a good dose of bringing his lunchbox to work, lunch pail to work.
He'd also be prepper.
Would it be? Prepper or preparer?
I would go.
People who prepare for the apocalypse a prepper.
All right, so you're both a prepper and a preparer.
I'm preparing for the draft apocalypse.
All right, here we go.
Drafting
in case
out of the
something
first
happens
round.
In Green Bay and I need to be GM, I'll be ready.
Hit the music. Here we go. What you need to know about the upcoming NFL draft in Green Bay, according to the one and only Joshua DiMaggio.
So I have a breakdown of every position group and talk about their strength. I'm going to start with some just general overall notes. It's thought to be only 4 to 5 true blue chip players in this draft. That would mean superstars. There are as many as 40 guys that could be graded with a first or second round grade. That translates to basically light on future all pros, but strong on starters and contributors. A lot of guys that will make differences. A lot of guys you'll know, but not a lot of Justin Jeffersons, Caleb Williams, those true can't miss. They look to be the stars of the league, future guys. There could be a lot of trades in the first and second round due to lack of consensus. As I said, there are 40 guys that could have a first, like a late first or early second round grade. So that would mean there's going to be guys who, when their board's breaking down, they're going to see a tier break and go, I want this guy. I'm going to go up and get him. He fits a need. We're going to make some moves here. And the last note is compared, this draft could be compared to the 2015 draft. That draft was the Jameis Winston and the Marcus Mariota draft, where I believe they went early. There was a few guys there, and then it was kind of just a jumble of a bunch of talent, but not real. Nobody's super excited about the 5th overall pick in this draft, if you were to make sense of that. We'll start with quarterback real quickly, though. It's a below average, as we know. Cam Ward, the presumptive 1st overall pick. Shedeur Sanders, nobody knows about. He could be, I've seen him fall out of the first round. I've seen him in the middle of the first round. I've seen him as early as 2 to the Cleveland Browns. There are two names I want us to pay attention to. That's Jackson Dart. Might make it up into the first round. And there's also a bunch of recognizable names, like Will Howard, Quinn Ewers.
This is a fun draft. Kyle
Dylan
McCord.
Grabiel, yeah. Kyle McCord, yes. All those guys are. Jalen Milroe, nobody knows what's going to happen there.
Yep.
Don't forget
running
Graham
back,
Mertz.
This is probably... Yeah.
Shut up, Hunter.
I did actually forget him. Maybe that was on purpose. Running back, extremely deep. I think there are going to be at least 6 like starters from this draft. Ashton Jeanty and Omarion Hampton both seem to be almost surefire first-round picks. Hampton is the kid out of North Carolina. I've seen him mocked as high as 13th. I would make a bet on him, if you can still find it, being drafted above, let's say, pick 24.
Sure.
Because some places do offer that. Names to keep an eye on, both the running backs from Ohio State, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins. Obviously, Caleb Johnson, we know him from Iowa. Cam Scadabo. Burst
Arizona
onto the
State,
scene
yeah.
at the college football playoff. And then there's names like Devin Neal, DJ Giddens, RJ Harvey, Bashaul Tootin, Damian Martinez, and Dylan Sampson. In the first 3 rounds, there could be as many as 10 running backs drafted at that position.
And you think 6 of these guys are day one starters?
Yes.
Wow.
I think you could probably project 6 guys. I don't know if day one, but they're going to be starters at some point, which is pretty rare, especially for that position right now. Wide receiver depth, fine to good. Obviously, Travis Hunter leads the way. Yeah. Could be pick 2, could be pick 3. Nobody knows. And then there's all the guys we've talked about. T-Mac, Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, Luther Burden, Emeka Ebuka. Those all seem to be first round pick slash early second. And then the real depth, I would say, is probably in the second to third round. We've got Jaden Higgins, yep, the monster from ISU. I've been talking about him nonstop, Iowa State. Trey Harris, Ole Miss. Jaden Higgins' teammate, Jalen Noel. Jack Besh, who Mel Kiper mocked to the Packers in the second round. Jalen Royals from Utah State. Alec Iomanor from Stanford. Kyle Williams from Washington State. And Isaiah Bond. Worth noting, we just talked about it, both Golden, Abuka, and Bond have all done pre-draft visits. I would say tight end, great class.
Okay.
Led by Tyler Warren. We saw him dominate the Badgers.
We did.
There's an interesting thing here going on where some people do believe that the second guy on most people's board, that would be Colston Loveland, is actually better than Warren. I expect both those guys to be top 20 picks.
Are the Packers in the market for tight end?
No. I wouldn't say, but yes.
Maybe later.
But like a sixth depth piece more than anything like that. Tackles, good depth. Bunch of guys, nobody really knows how they're going to fall. That's led by Membau from Mizzou, Calvin Banks Jr. from Texas, Will Campbell from LSU, short arms. He was supposed to be the first one dropping down people's boards because I believe he has the shortest arms ever for what would be a first-round pick. Shorter than our guy Brian Bulaga.
T-Rex.
Josh Simmons, OSU, we mentioned, was a visit to the Packers as well. Interior O-line, who cares? It's going to be whatever. There's Gray Zabel from NDSU, who is expected to be a first-round pick, and Tyler Booker, the edge defender.
Hello.
Abdu Carter, top three or four pick. Everybody knows him. He was rumored as the first overall pick, but it seems like
sounds
that's
like going to be number three now.
Yeah. Other names: Jalen Walker, Michael Williams, James Pierce, Shamar Stewart, Mike Green, Donovan. I don't know that, the kid from BC, and Nick Scowerton, also from Texas A&M. There's depth in the second and third round with guys like Jordan Birch from Oregon, Ola Dejo from UCLA, Landon Jackson from Arkansas, and Josiah Stewart from Michigan. It's a heavy dose. I expect a heavy dose of edge rushers in the top 50 picks. So
first two rounds,
you're probably going to see like 6, 7, 8 names off the board. Packers visited Shamar Stewart, Michael Williams, and Jace Pierce, as we also noted earlier. Interior D-line, great class.
That's what I've heard.
Love it. Love it.
Packers might go here.
Yes. Mason Graham from Michigan, likely to be a top half of the draft guy. You also add in Derek Harmon from Oregon, Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, Kenneth Grant from Michigan, and TJ Sanders from South Carolina. All guys I would expect to be first or second round picks.
Here's the thing with some of those names, Josh, just real quick.
Yes.
Kenny Clark ain't going to be a Packer forever.
Correct.
Devontae Wyatt's fifth-year option still hasn't been picked up.
TJ Slayton, no longer a Packer.
Right. So that might be a position the Packers target early.
Yes, yes. I think there could be, much like I said about the edge rushers, there could be six or more picks from this defensive tackle class in the top 50 of the draft. Inside linebacker, weak class. Jihad Campbell, top 10 pick from Alabama. Maybe the Packers add a depth piece there later in the draft, just kind of fill the body, have a special teamers type of deal. Cornerback, I would say, is a great class. Obviously, Travis Hunter. Jahdae Barron, the kid from Texas, who early in the process was mocked to the Packers a lot. It seems like because of his athletic testing and his positional versatility,
stock is rising.
He seems to be above the Packers, but you never know what ends up happening as the draft goes on. But that's also Will Johnson from Michigan, Maxwell Harrison, who I believe has been mocked to the Packers,
yes,
from Kentucky, Trey Amos from Ole Miss, Benjamin Morris from Notre Dame, Siobhan Revelle from ECU, who the Packers had in for a visit.
Yeah,
I believe there was concussion concerns with him.
There was injury concerns, but the other thing with him is, if you look at mock drafts, the Packers on mocks have picked him in the first round.
Yes,
and have picked him in the second round. Correct. So nobody really knows where he's going
to
go.
I think that's due to the overall story with a lot of these guys in the top end is there's a lot of injury concerns. So what one medical team on one team rules for one guy is not going to be the same across the league. There will probably be a guy that falls totally out of like the top two rounds because of some injury concern we're unaware of. But I think there is depth and there's going to, the health is going to determine a lot of where those guys go. It's sort of going to be a mishmash, but
I think corner is going to, and I've said this before, but I think corner will end up being the position for the Packers where they kind of approach it like they did safety last year. Throw a second round pick, a fourth round pick, and a sixth round pick at it. Just see what sticks.
I think they'll make multiple picks at it. I have a hard time determining where. But having a guy in with a second round tag at least shows you there is some legitimate interest moving forward in terms of lacking depth there and needing contributors. And then last thing, safety. There's going to be a couple first round picks. Nick Iwaminori or whatever his name is from South Carolina. He tested insane.
Keegan Bradley just hit a hole in one, by the way.
The par three.
Yeah.
And then Malachi Starks from Georgia are really the only names you really need to know from that class there.
Okay. What about kicker?
Kickers, punters, and long snappers aren't people.
That I deserve
not,
your time.
I will not be entering any of my thought into where those guys may end.
All right. There you go. Josh DiMaggio, take a sip of water. Take a breath. That was good. Will, you got all that?
Yeah, that was good. Seems like a deep draft. Got a lot of good info there. Excited to see what the Packers do.
That guy.
He retained all of that. Clearly.
He heard nothing.
It went in one ear, not the other for him.
What are the Bears going to draft? Running back first round?
I mean, they're probably going to try to get the Campbell guy out of LSU if he's
Campbell
there.
Campbell guy.
Will Campbell.
Will Campbell.
Yeah, I know who he is. Tackle out of LSU. But I could see him. A lot of people have been speculating Genty, but I think they might. I'm not sure who the second best or third best offensive lineman is, but it seems like they're probably just going to go O-line, keep building the trenches.
Seems fair.
All right. Well, we will continue to preview the draft over the course of the next 15 days. But that is a hell of a rundown by Joshy. I know much more right now than I did 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Which isn't saying a lot. It's still saying something, though.
I'm so fired up.
Defensive tackle is really intriguing to me.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time picking out if they're going to go just depth piece, the Packers being depth piece, or if they view it as big of a need as maybe we feel it is.
It's going to be first round pick will be the defensive tackle, an edge rusher, or a receiver.
That's what I think.
And then offensive line is always a play.
Could be at any point in the draft.
Yeah, could be. Okay, let's get to this. Packers tailgate tour underway, night number one in the books as they wrapped it up here in Milwaukee at the Baird Center, a Wisconsin firefighters charitable, outing. And it was awesome to see some of the players of the past, some of the players of the current, and Mark Murphy, the outgoing president and CEO, raising a bunch of money. They donated $25,000 to the case. Just a really, really cool thing they do every year where they go all over the state and give back to the communities that give so much to the Green Bay Packers. Had the opportunity to catch up with Packers tight end Tucker Kraft for a few moments. We talk a little ball and then quite an awkward moment at the end of the interview that I want you to stay tuned for. Here is my 5 minute catch up with Packers tight end Tucker Kraft. With Packers tight end Tucker Kraft at the end of day one, Packers tailgate tour. Tucker, this is an experience, I imagine. How's day one been for you?
Lots of smiles, lots of handshakes, met a lot of amazing supporting people. Packers fan base, it runs pretty deep.
I know you talked about it this morning, but you've chosen to stay in Green Bay this offseason. And obviously now, this week, giving back to some of the local communities in Wisconsin. Why was that the decision for you? Why Green Bay?
Well, I think people are thinking about it too much. I live in Green Bay because it's like the most accessible city for me to live in, where I can train for free, and I'm like I said, I'm living in the largest town I've ever lived in. So for me, it just makes sense. There's not really, the most glorious training circumstances back in South Dakota, but I have everything I need in Green Bay. I was there last off season too. Just where I choose to summer.
Okay, well, I thought because when you were drafted and driving out to Green Bay, you tweeted, like, there's a Culver's at every exit. I thought maybe that had something to do with it.
Yeah, entirely, yep. I do still enjoy a triple butter burger with cheese. Yeah, the works, no onion.
No onion?
No onion.
Interesting. Well, at least you got the cheese. I mean, that's very, very Wisconsin of you. How's the offseason been? Obviously, training in Green Bay. I heard pickleball is part of the regiment recently.
Yes. Since we're not – we're not back in the full swing of things yet, so pickleball does make its way into my workout regimen on days where I have cardio scribbled in. I just scratch it out for pickleball. Not entirely true. We do play a lot. And the pickler, shout out Tony at the pickler. He gets me and my friends right, and thankful for that.
You and Luke obviously came into this league together, but we really haven't seen both of you fully healthy together outside of a little bit, your first season, a little bit at the back end of last year.
What should we expect out of the tight ends? A lot of commentary around the pass catchers this offseason. Imagine you guys are both ready to prove everybody that this tight end group's elite.
Yeah, we're always ready to, honestly. We do a lot of talking about, you know, what the possibilities are between Luke and I both being on the field at the same time, but we just got to go out there and do it. That's you know, bottom line. We haven't really seen it, and we get a lot of questions about it. The two of us do. We spend a lot of time talking about each other, and we're just ready, just as much as anybody else is, for us to go out there and ball out together. So, you know, that's what people should expect.
In your words, how good can this Packers offense be in 2025?
Unstoppable, without a doubt. Unstoppable.
How good is Jordan Love, Tucker?
He's the guy. He's a guy for the job. He is that guy.
What's your relationship like with the quarterback? Obviously, you know, spent a couple of years with him, entering year three with him now. What's the relationship been like?
I'm just trying to be the best, you know, athlete I can be on the team for every guy on the field, regardless of what the position they play. You know, I'm trying to help the O linemen out in the run game. I'm trying to set up screens for the receivers in the pass game, things like that. They're working for me too, in certain situations. But my relationship with Jordan, you know, I'm ultimately his safety blanket. You know, a lot of times he's dish balls out to me, and I've also been his first choice too. But it's great that I'll be healthy this offseason, be able to roll into OTAs and then training camp, and get to know him a little bit better.
I know we got to get you out of here, get you back on the tailgate tour bus. But before we let you go, a couple weeks ago on your Instagram story, you posted this dude running around. He ran a 3-cone drill. It said, like, reporters, you know, should do this every week. You got me good. And you're right. Aren't I unbelievably unathletic?
Liz, you need to stretch a little bit more.
I think so.
Yeah, the 3-cone, we can work on it. You didn't start with the right foot up. You know, there's – when you get out, you got to get it on full field. We'll get a full workout in.
All right, I'll be up in Green Bay for the draft. Can you help me?
I'll be up 6 a.m. tomorrow morning playing pickleball at the court later.
The court here in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
6 a.m.
Like two blocks away?
Yeah, right in our – the one I ran that 3-cone drill on, I would imagine.
I'll be there.
All right, I'll see you there at 6 a.m.
I didn't go.
I feel like you had to.
It turned out it was not this court.
Was it the ones under the freeway?
No, it was not the outdoor ones. It was at the club, if you know what I'm saying, up the street. So I wouldn't have been allowed in there is kind of my point here.
He tweeted about it?
So he put a video on his Instagram story.
Yes.
That it had the tweet on it that said, reporters should do this every year to dictate their salary.
Yes.
And it was a video of me running the 3-cone drill. So when I'm so glad he knew what I was talking about, because we recorded the video version of that interview on my phone, so I couldn't just pull it up and show him.
Yeah.
So for those of you that are listening on the audio side, you heard me stop talking and then him start laughing. What I did when I saw it in his eyes and his smile that he knew what video I was talking about.
Yes.
I just pointed at my face. And he laughed so hard he had to take a literal lap before coming back to me. Hunter, you have the shortcut of that if you want to play for our video audience, where we start laughing and he walks and
So that was edited for air and he walked away from you at one point, or did he do that in that interview?
No, he did it in the interview. He's laughing so hard he had to like take a few steps. I mean, you could see it here if you're watching on YouTube. He taps my chest. He's laughing so hard. And then he takes about 5 steps behind me just because he's peeling over laughing so hard. Cause he's like, holy bleep. This is the idiot that's so unbelievably unathletic. So yet again, my lack of athleticism, strikes, and makes a memory here with Packers tight end Tucker Kraft. So you told me when this video started going viral weeks and weeks ago now. That this would be a defining moment. That this would be something that sticks with me forever.
I believe the word I said is this has lost contain.
Yeah.
This is bridged upon. It has broken out of our bubble here at ESPN Wisconsin, and it has made its way into national interest and statewide interest. And Tucker Kraft, left such an impact on him that you could vaguely reference a video.
Yes.
And the statement on it.
And then he tells me what I did wrong.
Yes. And he knew exactly what happened. That means he watched that dozens of times, much like us here on this very program. Hunter, if you still have that, I wouldn't mind that playing as we speak here.
I'd be fine if you don't.
That is...
Well, I was just going to say, like, there's also a very good chance here now. If he watched it that many times, that means, like, Jordan Love has probably seen it.
Yeah.
The Packers coaching staff... Like
yes,
Well, so just to give you a little peek behind the curtain here. So Tucker Kraft and I had that conversation after the program ended.
Yes.
The rest of the players, Mark Murphy and all their Packers team that was traveling, were already back on the bus. They were just waiting for Tucker to wrap up the interview with me. There's a good chance that he went on that bus and said, "You guys will never believe what the hell just happened." Uh-huh.
Guess who I just saw?
That, remember that clown we were texting about a couple weeks ago? Yeah, that's him.
The fact that he said it should determine your salary inherently is telling you that he believes you should be paid pennies.
Correct. And then I got to, in his face, go, "I'm right here, brother."
You should have asked him, "Well, how much do you think I'm worth?" I'm going to tell my bosses, this is how much Tucker Kraft thinks I should be paid.
The bad part is, it's almost annual time for Mr. Stroh. Yeah, it's almost time to look at that compensation. So it's probably a good thing I didn't ask that.
That is,
I mean, is that great?
So if Tucker Kraft saw it.
Oh, everybody's seen it.
Because of that.
The video is over 20 million views across platforms. 20 million, Josh. That's a lot of views.
There's, like, now we have to think of tight end U that spread to the Kittles, the Kelseys.
Oh, good Lord.
Like, there's a chance that the TEU group chat that they probably have, that got sent in there, and they said, "Get a load of this guy." He put it on his Instagram. That means Jordan Love's in the picture. That means there's a lot of NFL players and probably some pretty famous people that have set their eyes on you performing the single worst three-cone history in the history of athletics.
Like, Stroh, there's a very real chance that you could try and work in that to almost any interview you do from now on with an NFL player from, like, this era, and so they're going to know about
it. But here's the thing. Here's how I viewed it. This is the one guy I know that's seen it. And this is, you know, like when you hear a catchy song, they call that an earworm.
Yeah.
When you see something preposterous on video, I call that an eyeworm.
Yeah.
This video was an eyeworm. And so when if he felt inclined enough to put it on a story, you know, he watched it multiple times before he did that. So I knew he would know what I'm talking about. I don't know that I'm going to work that into any interview for the rest of my life.
You have to, any current Packer that is on in the 2025 season, this needs to be brought up. I think every person pre-draft.
Well,
and maybe you can leave out
quite obviously
Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks.
Yeah, but quite obviously, Josh, I'm going to be talking to a few Packers players.
Yeah,
when I'm up there for the draft in a few weeks for this very show. I don't want this to be the thing I'm known for.
No, you
too late.
Yeah. What do they say? Cat's out of the bag?
Cat's out of the bag.
Genie's out of the bottle. You can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Well, speaking of things people want to be known for, we have an eager, young, up-and-comer in the building with us quite often here on this program. On Friday, he filled in for you, Joshy, is kind of my, is one of our co-pilots here in Mr. Relevant.
How'd
he do? Well, he did fine. I'm not going
to
rate him. But he said, at one point in the show, Josh, he said, "Stroh, can I be the official MLB reporter of Mr. Irrelevant?" And I said, "No."
Yeah.
"But you can be a correspondent." And he said, and I said, "Okay, what do you got?" And he kind of gave me a spiel about the Brewers' arms, and it was fine. You know, I said, "Well, here's what we're going to do. Next week when Joshy's back, I want you to come dressed in your best attire. I want you to stand right over his right shoulder and deliver your next report. And if Joshy thinks it's good enough, we will give you the title of Mr. Irrelevant MLB correspondent." So Will
His
Summers.
His fate hangs in the air based on me right now?
That's correct. You are going to be the decision maker on this program. That's how much I appreciate what you do for us. So Will Summers is going to come into the Gruber offices One Call That's All studio. I have a pair of headphones set out for him right next to Joshy. We are going to literally lean the microphone, if you're watching on video, on Joshy's right shoulder. And Will is going to come in and deliver a report. Now, you got to get a load of this guy. Look what he's wearing. He's wearing an actual suit.
Love it.
Have you gotten smaller since you wore that suit last?
You look small. What do you mean you've gotten smaller? Just drag those headphones. You're good. So you've lost weight since you last wore that?
Yeah, I last wore this my senior year of high school. I'm probably about 10 to 15 pounds lighter than I was then. So I wasn't sure.
Muscle or chub?
Chub.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was chub.
As I say, for most people, it goes up after you leave high school.
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise. Little ego boost.
Freshman 15 is a term.
That's true. Yeah. I gained a freshman 15, believe it or not. The visual of you two right now is so unbelievable.
This is very uncomfortable.
That's what I'm aiming for. All right, Hunter, fire up the music. We're going to give the floor to Will Summers as he tries out to be the official Mr. Irrelevant MLB correspondent.
Yeah, we're going to continue with some more Brewers talk. They're above 500 for the first time this year after winning six of their last eight games.
Six of their last seven. You're wrong already.
They won last night. They lost to the Royals and they lost to the Reds.
Yeah, they were 0-4. They're 6-5. That's 6-7.
Despite them losing a large amount of starting pitching to injury, the rest of the staff has really picked up the slack. Instead of answering a call to the bullpen, Tyler Alexander Graham Bell dialed it up for the crew in his first start of the year, going 5 2/3 innings with 6 strikeouts and 0 hits. Watching a Chad dominate on a Sunday with Cincinnati on the field felt familiar, as Chad Patrick showed there's 3 guarantees in life: death, taxes, and 80 pitches or less to get his first career win. 5 1/3, 2 hits, 1 run, his final line. And then Nestor Cortez, who is one of those injured pitchers who got put in the Saturday detention during his first start against the Yankees, saying, "Don't you forget about me," and joined the Breck fastball on the outside corner club, tossing 6 scoreless innings, allowing just 1 hit in his second outing of the year. Offensively, it started with Randy Jackson Churio, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs on Sunday, still just 21 years old. And if you think he's going to slow down anytime soon, it's going to be a no from me, dog.
That's good!
With Christian Yelich and William Contreras getting off to a little bit of a slow start for this team, 2 young guys have stepped up. Sal Pacino Frelick hasn't been afraid to pick up his bat and yell, "Say hello to my little friend," as he went 4-for-5 on Saturday night and finished a home run short of the cycle. Another key piece stepping up for the crew is Bryce Wu Terang, as he said, "Give me the dollar-dollar bill, y'all." And has been on an 11-game hit streak to start the year. He received his Platinum Glove Award last Saturday and looked like Alex Stroph on his lunch break as he Baja blasted a monster 2-run home run in the 5th inning to propel the Brewers to a 3-2 win. The crew took a page out of Ricky Bobby's book over the weekend as they chewed up all the big red, winning their 11th straight series against Cincinnati. They're now in Colorado, where they took Game 1 against the Rockies last night and will face the Diamondbacks in Arizona for a weekend series. With your MLB report on Mr. Relevant, I'm Will Summers. Back to Josh DiMaggio for the weather.
All right. Well, that was a 10 out of 10.
That was...
taken straight from the book of Chris Berman.
Yeah.
PMT / Part of My Take, those guys. I expected it to be Will just giving
opinions. Just thought we were getting takes, yeah.
Yeah. I think that can now be a regular occurrence on the program. I think that can expand. It can be the NFL correspondent. I would love a Masters breakdown after the tournament this weekend. I think he can the Brewers won great. I think he needs to expand to the whole MLB, all the hot news. That was unbelievable. It was a great job.
I'm crying. That swung so wildly from A+ to F, and I loved every second of it.
The one I'm most proud of was the Chad on a Sunday in Cincinnati. That was a deep cut. I wasn't sure if...
explain that to people.
Chad Ochocinco, right?
No, yeah. Death, taxes, 85, always open.
The Ricky Bobby chewing up Big Red was... that's the one that got me.
I knew you were going to like that one. I think you referenced that a couple weeks ago.
I don't think it... oh, I may have referenced... oh, yeah, if you don't chew Big Red. Yeah.
At first, I thought he was just going to give us... what do we call the vignettes we do on the program, where it's just the Brewers update?
Oh.
And then he started dropping in there, and I said, wow, this is not what I had bargained for.
I mean, there's a bunch with you, a bunch of you with us on ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. Give us your feedback. Chef Ed says, my response to Will, 4 thumbs up.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Randy Jackson, that's a no from me, dog.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Will, I'm blown away, brother. That was really, really well done.
Yeah, it's just the way my brain works, so I kind of just thought I'd play to my strengths here.
What are you wearing? So this is your high school graduation suit?
Yeah, this is what I wore like underneath my cap and gown. If it was up to me, it would have just been a tuxedo shirt, you know? Something a little fun, lighter, but my mom made me wear a suit.
What should his outfits be going forward when we do this?
I think they should be themed to the topic where possible. I think he can stick...
I'm blown away.
I do think this fits too well. You need to get an iller fitting suit, maybe from Goodwill. You can grab one for like $5. I want like massive suit where he looks goofy in it and he looks like you're swimming in it just to make the look even more ridiculous.
I've got some old
what
ones
are our
that don't.
On like a fedora.
Oh, a fedora.
I texted Alex Stroff asking if he had a fedora for me to wear.
A fedora would be good. Now, I don't know how you wear headphones over a fedora. But it's an idea.
Put the fedora on the top.
I was just going to say that like I think I might have some old suits that don't fit me anymore, but would still have you swimming in them. So I think we might have to make that happen.
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, Monday we need a polo since it's golf.
That's fair. I think... Not only has he earned himself a running segment on the program, I think he's earned his own chair and mic. He doesn't have to do it over my shoulder for the rest of the time.
Is that just because you're uncomfortable?
I think his performance is deserving of his own seat.
I agree.
There is something visually funny to him doing it over my shoulder, but this isn't funny enough where it would be funniest if it was like here, but it's kind of over there, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. All right, well, congratulations. I think rather than being our MLB correspondent, I think we just need to add Will's Week in Review, and you can do it about whatever you want.
Sweet.
Well done. I don't even know how to move on from that.
That
was so good.
It was the best part of the week of the show, probably.
We just had Tucker Kraft on the program, and he blew that out of the water.
Stunted on him.
Wow.
So good job. I don't even know what else to say. It was just good.
There were so many in there that I can't even unpack all of them.
Yeah, no, that needs to go on social media.
Bryce Wu Terang.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There's an Al Pacino reference with Sal Frelick.
Sal Pacino.
Sal Pacino Frelick. All right, Will.
Breakfast Club one with Nestor Cortez.
Saturday detention.
The breakfast ball on the outside corner club.
What I was trying to figure out. Is Al Pacino the guy who said, say hello to my little friend, or is that from Scarface?
That's from Scarface, Tony Montana.
Yeah, but Pacino played him, so.
Oh, did he?
Al Pacino was the actor of Tony Montana?
I'm 99% sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was.
Oh.
Who else would have played him?
Good point. Yeah, he is indeed portrayed by Al Pacino.
Huh.
Yeah, just it's very young Pacino.
I was going to say, I guess he was so young and dashing at that point. Now I see it. Yeah.
Say hello to my little friend. Wow. Okay, well, that was, I don't know what we call it, Will's Week in Review. I don't know, but
yeah.
Wow. All right, you learned something new every day. We learned something new today. It's time now for what we learned. We said at the top, Joshy in crumbles and shambles due to what the Bucks did last night. But the Bucks, with one of their all-time comebacks in franchise history, outscoring the Timberwolves 40-13 in the fourth quarter last night. Bobby Portis returns. Giannis has another great game. I'm so back in. And like you've got Damian Lillard dropping breadcrumbs on his Instagram story that signify maybe he's coming back sooner than we anticipated. I think I'm back in, baby. Bucks bringing back the LOB to Milwaukee. I'm back in.
Okay. I think that's a little drastic. Like, the Timberwolves fell apart, but sure, man.
So did Duke. Didn't stop Houston from playing well in the national championship.
That felt like an attack for no reason.
Yeah, Houston also fell apart, too, in the national championship.
It did. That was sweet justice. Sweet justice.
Yeah,
justice.
Felt
after
so
they
good.
Called Duke weak and mentally unstable and that they knew they... Hey, what happened to you, Houston? Kelvin? Mister? Is it Kevin or Kelvin?
Kelvin with an L. Yeah, with an E, excuse me. K-E-L-V-I-N.
It's one of those names that you hear people say it wrong, and you're like, wait, which one was wrong?
That's fair.
Because I hear both Kevin and Kelvin, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's Kelvin.
Just think the temperature.
It's great. Do you know what a Kelvin is?
Yeah. Spelled just like it.
Nope.
Sure it is.
Isn't it the other way?
It's K-E-L-V-I-N, isn't it?
I thought it was the other way, but I could be wrong.
Kelvin temperature. How's it spelled? Off the top of your head. I don't want you looking it up yet.
K-E-L-V-I-N.
It is? Wow.
Strophe outsmarts Josh.
The Kelvin is one I don't really... I don't understand why it needs the necessity.
Where is it? Like, where is it utilized? Because Celsius is obviously...
It's a chemistry...
The base,
Like,
yeah. Oh, that's. It's the absolute temperature scale that starts at the lowest possible temperature, absolute zero. I did know that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's not necessarily like utilized if you go to Australia.
No, because
right,
like
in a chemistry lab,
yeah. It is scientific temperature versus
like absolute zero is the moment that all matter is supposed to instantly freeze. So then it's used like they'll use it in like astronomy stuff and like it's the big science stuff.
I will say this. I never once passed a chemistry class at any level of my schooling. I found ways around it. So,
ooh, I've got something based on chemistry. I'm glad you said
Me not knowing that, not surprising.
The most dramatic moment of my high school career, academic career, I should say, was in chemistry with Dr. Willow. Great guy. I sucked at chemistry. I took our final.
It's a glorified math class.
I took our final exam. I passed, I put the Scantron on the table, I snapped two pencils in half, and then I went and sat crisscross applesauce in the back of the room by like the lab stations. I was like, I just failed that class. I'm going to have to retake. I've never failed a high school class. What's high school? Dr. Willow comes over by me and he crouches and he says, didn't go well? I said, no, it did not, Dr. Willow. And he said, Alex, what you need to understand is everybody that's great fails before they succeed. He bumped up my score, gave me a D-.
Attaboy.
Passed the class.
In a similar vein, my grandfather was a middle school science teacher. He absolutely passed me just so he wouldn't have to deal with my mom by putting me in summer school because I failed his science class.
Is that your mom's father?
No, it's my dad's foster dad. But he wasn't afraid of my dad. He was afraid of my mom, though.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How that works.
Yeah. I've got one.
Oh.
I do have one as well.
Oh, wow.
We do have to be out in 3 minutes, by the way. The jump around means our space.
Really
here
quick,
in
do you remember Scott's Tots episode from The Office?
Yes.
Yes.
Jay-Z apparently has done that in real life. He told kids at a Brooklyn school that he was going to, that they would go to college and they would graduate debt free. They all have debt. And the last thing, much awaited, famous author Thomas Pynchon. 87 years old, hasn't written a book in a couple decades. He's famous for Inherent Vice, V, Gravity's Rainbow, amongst other. Released a new book, very exciting. Shout out to all my bookheads out there.
Your bookheads. I have no idea what you just said. I don't know what any of those books are. All right, Hunter, wrap us up.
LeBron James becoming the first Ken Bassiter. It'll be the Le Ken doll by Mattel. He's going to be a Ken doll.
Oh.
Yep.
I'm just Ken. Anywhere else, I'd be a 10.
Is he going to be smooth down there?
Why? Sure, end the
you
show.
Know what? This was the best show we've had in a long time. Well done by everybody involved. Thanks to Tucker Kraft for taking the time. Thanks to Hunter. Thanks to Joshy. Will, I don't even know if I can thank you. I don't feel like that's enough for what you provided today. Well done, sir. We will be back with you Friday beginning at 12:30. More conversations from the Packers tailgate tour coming your way, as well as we continue to count you down to the draft 15 days away. What a show, fellas. Good work. We'll talk to you Friday. Peace.